Yesterday, a child went out to wander, caught a dragonfly inside a jar. Fearful, and the sky was filled with thunder. Seasons skated over 10 clear frozen streets. Words like when you're older must appease him, and promises of someday away. They go round and round, and the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where we came, and go round and round and round in a circle. Springs and 16 summers gone now. Cartwheels turn to car wheels through the town. Then they tell him, take your time, it won't be long now, for you drag your feet to slow the circle.
Was that beautiful? Oh my gosh. Thank you, Paula. More love to Paula. Robert. It's a perfect song for today's talk, which is entitled Seasons. And my all-time favorite song about seasons was our opening song, Turn, 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 also known as To everything. There is a purpose under heaven. So who was it that made the song famous? The Birds, spelled with a Y, not an I. Do you know who wrote it and when? No. Well, that's part. The lyrics came from the Bible, most of them. Pete Seeger in 1959, and it was the first time that it ever came out was in 62, but the Birds are the ones that made that happen. And it became the number one hit in the U.S. on Billboard 100 on December 4th, 1965. So now you've got your trivia for today. But there might be more trivia coming. So Ecclesiastics, basically the words, all of the words came from Ecclesiastics is what it transferred into the song, Turn, Turn, Turn. All except for one word that's repeated over and over, turn, turn, turn. And the last, very last line, which is, I swear it's not too late. So, it actually is a U.S. hit that has the oldest lyrics. I would imagine so. How many songs have, from how many thousands of years ago? So, to everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Think about that. Think about that. To everything, there is a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven. That is so true, right? And here's the thing. Nothing ever stays the same. Change is the only constant. Things are always evolving. In fact, without change, there is no evolution, there is no life. It is necessary to have change. The challenge we have as humans is we get attached to the familiar, to what is. Change basically indicates that there is something that is no longer the same. There is something that is now different. We get attached to what has been. Anyone? Heck yeah. That's just part of our DNA, I think, and what we've been trained. But so we get attached. And we don't let things go and evolve. But everything, in truth, is a season, and it would behoove us to remember that. I love this quote by Dr. Ernest Holmes, founder of the Centers for Spiritual Living, Science and Mind. He says, nature will not let us stay in any one place too long, right? She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. I love this. This is a wise provision. Should we stay here too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands change in order that we may advance. When the change comes, we should welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart. Oh, how would that be? Every time there's a change, you're smiling and being happy, right? That would be a switch up. Although some of us, sometimes change is favorable and we enjoy it. However, change comes in many forms. And we talked about basically there's the changing of the weather. And our weather here in Santa Fe is continually changing. I mean, you look at the little app and it goes, it's going to be this, and then it's like 5 minutes later, it's going to be something else. You know, Mother Nature is going to do what she wants to do when she wants to do it. We try to predict what's going to happen, but you can't predict that. It's always changing. And seasons change. And we here in Santa Fe are fortunate to have four distinct seasons. I'm personally ready for the next season. And it's okay. It'll be here when it gets here. You can't make Mother Nature do anything what she's going to do, just to respect it and to give thanks that she is in the process of change. And as in the song, there's more than other seasons. Actually, in some places, there's just two seasons, the dry season and the wet season. I didn't know what a monsoon season was and that Santa Fe has a monsoon season. There's also seasons in sports. You've got football season and baseball season and basketball season. You've got seasons. Now, back in the song, it says, to everything, there is a season. There is a season for everything. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And everything is constantly changing. Mary Murray Shelton, in her book, and this is one that I highly recommend. It's called Guidance from the Darkness by Reverend Mary Murray Shelton. The tagline is the transforming power of the divine feminine in difficult times. She's one of my mentors. She was my first New Thought minister, teacher. I love her writing. She's easy to understand. It's like having a conversation. So I'm going to share with you part of what she talks about in her first chapter, which is change is a process and not an event. She said, change affects us all. Events happen in our lives and changes result, not only externally, but internally as well, because change encompasses more than the events themselves, right? It includes our responses and our reactions to those events in the moment and over time. The initial event has an immediate effect on us, and we have a response to that impact. But it isn't just the moment of impact that we respond to. We continue to respond over time to our memory of the event and to the sequence of unfoldments that follow. There's unfoldments. There's five of them. She says, a particular sequence of unfoldments begins with an event that changes the status quo. Something has changed. Such a change usually initiates grief, the first unfoldment in the sequence, because the familiar to which we are attached must be released. Grieving requires time, but eventually a small measure of familiarity with the new circumstances begins to take hold. And we may choose to start to return to a more normal or familiar flow of life. Whether an event is positive or negative, there still is the element of grief. Often we don't recognize this grief. Even a good and positive event creates a feeling of loss because of its effects on the familiar. A promotion, a new relationship, a move to someplace new, all require letting go of the familiar. More times than not, I talk to people and I get the feeling that there's grief going on, but we don't talk about and we don't teach grief. I'm right in the middle of it and we'll talk more about that. From the unfoldment of grief comes stage two, the awareness stage. So your grief, your letting go, you're feeling sad, mourning that something is not there anymore. But there's a new awareness because new life is calling us into it. Okay, from that awareness, we move to stage three, and there becomes a willingness to trust. Trust enough to take stage four action. So you go from grief to awareness to a willingness to trust. And from that willingness to trust, you take an action step. And we enter the new, the unknown, and start to discover our newness. And that's when stage five hits, and that's struggle. Struggle is what happens between what was and what's becoming. In order to enter the new, one must be able to let go of all the aspects of the old, internally especially. Through this letting go, we find ourselves born anew or transformed, which I see as our unlearning and returning to our original state of being as the divine in expression. Okay, I'm going to say that again. That's a repeater. Through this letting go stage, we find ourselves reborn, renewed, transformed, which is our unlearning and returning to our original state of being as the divine in expression. Change is our opportunity to evolve into the next phase of our fullest expression of capital S self. Oh, well then, you know, change is a blessing. We are designed to grow and adapt, and when we choose not to do so, life can become very difficult. There is a cost involved in resisting our personal natural evolution. Listen to this one. Each one of us has a brilliant magnificence within that's pushing to be revealed. Resisting that push prevents us from discovering the potential within. Okay, so now you got some meat to chew on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my personal things that are happening. Most of you probably know that my wife, Reverend Divine Joy Young, made her passing, transition, and I dare say the word died. We avoid that word because we want to keep it in the transition and past. She died on December 30th of stage 4 lymphoma. Had 2 weeks' notice that that was probably going to happen. Yeah, it's a wow. It's like, and so I had also scheduled to go on a cruise. I scheduled this last spring to go on a cruise, on Olivia Records' 50th year anniversary cruise, on my birthday, which was February 26th. And Divine chose not to want to go with me. She didn't like cruises. So I go, okay, well, I booked it. I paid for it. And I wasn't planning on going with her anyway, so I will go on this cruise. Interesting. I've had people ask me, how was the cruise? And most people who go on a cruise want to go, you know, what's on the, did you have fun? Because aren't you supposed to have fun on a cruise? Heck yeah. Okay, so what I have learned, part of what, I'm going to share with you some of the things that I got from this cruise. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
So the first thing I have become aware of is that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're birthday, you're wearing your festive pride hat and a t-shirt that says, it's my birthday. It doesn't matter that you're getting on a cruise ship with 2,100 women with awesome entertainers. It doesn't matter that you're going to go to the Caribbean and go to these beautiful islands. It doesn't matter to grief and sadness. It's going with you. Okay, so it is my birthday. I'm in the big waiting room where they're putting people onto the ship, wearing my festive hat, my birthday t-shirt, and people are all excited and happy because they're going on a cruise. And I'm standing over by the bathrooms, and I'm crying. Okay, it's my birthday. Everybody's having fun, and I'm crying because my wife has passed, and I'm in my solo-ness, and it's more present. I mean, I would have been sad not having her with me, but knowing that she was way never going to be with me. So, doesn't matter. Grief goes with you. So, on the cruise, I get on the ship. What I realize is when you get on a cruise ship, this may have happened to you. When you step from the dock across the bridge onto the ship, you leave your brain on the dock. Which means, oh my God, there's food. I must eat it. There's food. I must eat it. Oh, there's food. I'm not hungry, but, you know, there's food. Anytime, anywhere, you're not even hungry, you don't need it, you're going to eat it. I ate it. So did everybody else. I put on 12 pounds in 1 week. When I got off the ship and had to detox with a headache for 4 days, I apologized with the Ho'oponopono prayer to my body. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. It was abusive. It was stupid. I did pick my brain up when I got on. But, you know, the food thing is ridiculous. You just eat because that's what you do, and you don't have a brain, and you're just going to eat. I have released 6 or 7 of those excess things, but they go on so much faster than they go off. I mean, what is with that? I got to talk to the divine about that because that's not working for me. The entertainers were good. We had musicians. Most of them, this company, Olivia Records, was a pioneer. Women's music, women's owned music company in 1973. That was unheard of. They had obstacles. They taught the history. This is 50 years. So they had great musicians who were back in the very beginning of, and they had comedians. My favorite were the comedians. They had a lot of comedians because I needed to laugh, and they made me laugh. Music sometimes would make me cry. So, you know, that's just going to be part of the thing. The hardest part of the cruise was not having a person. Not having a person to connect to, with, to share. I often was by myself. And in being by myself, I would cry because I'm not going to hold it in. They had solos, events. They had tables so you could sit with other people who were traveling singularly. And so you'd try to have a conversation, and you'd have conversation, and I made effort. And after a while, I got tired of that because it's social, superficial kind of connecting, and I am a connector, and I like to connect deeper. So after a while, I just said, I don't even care if I sit with anybody. I'd rather sit by myself and eat my food. My bestie was my frickin' food. And I paid the $99 so that I could have Facebook, because one of the things that I had realized when my 13-year relationship of another time passed, I wanted to share things of my life, and there's nobody to share it with. Facebook became that for me. Facebook is my way to share funny things, beautiful things. I post it every day because I could share. That's a need I have, is to share. Whoever receives it, but it's my need. And that is why Facebook works for me in that way. So I realized, walking around the ship often by myself, and I did everything. I'd wear the hats and all the things that they were doing festive. And there was times where, like, I didn't care. I made myself dance thinking, well, that'll help me get in the mood. I'm like, no, I don't care. I just need to go back to my room or walk by myself. But I was really missing my person. And what I realized, Spirit said, you know, you can be missing your person, but you have people. You are my people. You are my tribe. You're my family. I can miss my person, but God said, you have people. And I went, thank you. I am so grateful that I have you to come home to. I was really happy to be off the cruise ship and away from the food and to be coming back home to Santa Fe and to you all. Now, Olivia did have something. They had a little meeting on Monday called Forever in Our Hearts, which was for the 20 women who showed up a way to share, because I wasn't the only griever of someone who had passed. Someone who was on the ship, her wife had passed on February 14th. This is 2 weeks later. I'm like, so the issue, I mean, it was nice to have a place, and I would suggest to Olivia to please have that group every day. They had 12-step meetings every day, morning and night. But one time wasn't enough, and I couldn't reconnect because we had something in common that might have helped me have a better experience of not feeling so alone. So two things that were also bonuses. Number one was I got a room to myself. Now, I was supposed to, quote, get a room with somebody else because I paid the single rate. But I went and I got the key and I'm like, there's only one key in here. And I go into my room and there's the king bed, and it was like Spirit said, no, you don't have to have a roommate. So in a way, I didn't get to connect anyone, but I also had my privacy. And so that was a gift. And the second thing is I had signed up for an excursion, but I was on a wait list. But I did get to have a three-way. Oh, come on. Where do your minds go? Yes, I had a private room. Jeez. It took you, some of you took a minute. So I got this piece of paper and says, you're off the wait list and you can have your three-way. I'm like, oh, right. Which meant I got to go on one excursion that I was interested in, and that meant I got to go kayaking and a hike and a snorkeling all in one excursion. So that was a yippee-doo. And it was all of that excursion was a good one. So the birthday cruise was good, and I got to ride the waves of emotion and the ocean at the same time. So this brings us back to seasons, which I'm obviously in the season of grief, and in the song, it would be a time to weep and a time to mourn. I'm in the midst of it. I may be moving into the second stage of unfoldment sequence, which is awareness. There's a, there's no set line of what you're in a stage of. I am taking a grief recovery class, and that class is now being one-on-one with Reverend Diane Davidson, who offers this class, and it's about completing the things that are incomplete. And I'm on my last two steps of this process, and it's about creating that completeness in that which is incomplete. And it's about things that you wished had been different, better, or more. And I probably will end up taking the training and be able to offer this to all of you, because it's a whole different thing than what we may have been taught about grief. You know, some people say I'm brave and courageous to go through this. Basically, I would say, not necessarily. I don't want to, on some levels, I cannot not do this. I cannot walk around with this heaviness in my heart every day and cry whenever and all, whatever. I have to do this work. I am willing to do whatever it takes to move through it and not avoid it and to feel and do my work. So, I'm in the season. Now it's your turn. I shared. What season are you in? We all have seasons because there's a time for everything. What season are you in? My suggestion is perhaps take the song and look at it and go, hey, am I in a time of birth? What are you birthing? Or is there something that is dying off in your life that you're letting go of? You know, is it a time to kill? Kill the things that are killing you in your head. Or is it a time to heal and remember your oneness? Is it a time where you're planting new visions and seeds of affirmations? Or is it a time where you're now reaping the affirmations that you've done in the past? Maybe it's a time for you to mourn. And maybe you're in a time of dancing. Newness. Not, you know, letting go. Where are you in the season of your life? And the most important thing is to recognize that wherever you are, in whatever season you are in, the season will change. Sometimes quicker. Doesn't matter if it's an insignificant small thing or a life-changing thing. Seasons will change. Nature, that is the way of nature. Now, we can resist it and prolong our change of seasons internally, or we can move on. There is one thing. It is the same in every season. Want to know what it is? No? Are you with me? Wake up! I know you are. I can feel you. The one thing that is constant in every season is N-O-W. Now is everywhere and all the time. You can go on a cruise, you're still taking yourself and everything with you. There's only the now. Henry David Thoreau says, live in each season as it passes. Breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, and resign yourself to the influence of the earth. Basically saying, don't resist. It never stops being now. The journey back to God is the journey back to now. To ascend, whichever, You can ascend into heaven. I descend. I mean, my heaven is within, so I can say I descend into heaven. Is to sink so deeply into now that we lose interest in past regrets and anxious anticipations. But I make this so complicated. Should I plan for dinner? Should I apologize for what I said yesterday? Should I make out a will? To think about what it means to be in the present is not to be in the present. Little children are so unsophisticated that they run around, they giggle, they stare at strangers, they taste rocks, and just altogether have way too much fun. They're so clueless, they don't even know they have mastered advanced metaphysical concepts and mystical techniques. That's why Jesus said, be like a child. You'll be in heaven. Today, I will practice being clueless. So would you like to know how to be clueless? This is a simple practice. You say the line, I am here now. I am here. I am here now. You can just do that like, I am here. 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 God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here. Love is here. It will break you out of your head and back into the now. So that is what I am inviting you to do this week. Be in the now in whatever season you're in, because it too shall pass. And my final quote, yesterday's the past, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Each new gift, each new day is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And each tomorrow is another present we haven't yet unwrapped. And so it is. Thank you.